Five, four, three, two, one, fire!
You are listening to StMichaelsPod.com. We have taken over control of your iPod or other MP3 listening device. Resistance is futile at this point. God's message will not self-destruct, whether you choose to accept his mission or not. At this time, we recommend that you relax, let go, and let God.
Welcome to this week's St. Michael's Teen Radio Show. We're back once again with the teenagers and young adults from St. Michael's Parish in Worthington, Ohio. And we have a pretty interesting show tonight. It's going to be about the rosary in many ways. But first, I'd like to just go around and get everybody's name real quick. Just say hello.
Hi, I'm Taylor Green.
I'm Michelle Rosner.
Caitlin Chapole McCullough.
I'm Mary Eckert.
Andrew Marin.
Brenda Rosemarin.
Anna Yaka.
And myself, Mike Barone, your sometimes and often host of the show. welcome back again. It's good to have you here listening to our podcast and hopefully our... There's the Lord. He doesn't want this to just remain a podcast. He wants this to become a broadcast on 1270 AM, which is St. Gabriel Radio, and that's what we're working towards. So he's happily chiming in the background with thunder. So it's kind of cool to hear every now and then. But tonight's show is going to be, like we said, on the rosary. And we might talk a little bit about what the rosary means to us or the different mysteries of the rosary, what they mean to us. But our featured artist is Danielle Rose, who has done a wonderful new series called Mysteries, which deal with all 20 mysteries of the rosary. And Caitlin's going to tell us a little bit about it, I think, and maybe lead us into the first song that you've chosen tonight. You can tell us a little bit about where she got it from and what she might be saying in it.
Okay, Danielle is a 2002 Notre Dame graduate, and up until very recently, her mission has been to go around serving the Lord by ministering her music to people through retreats, through conferences and things like that. Recently, though, she's undergone some vocal surgery, so we need to keep her in our prayers. All of her songs that she writes, she composes in front of the tabernacle in adoration, during adoration. And the first song, The Kingdom of God is at Hand, is about the third luminous mystery. She gets her inspiration through reading the scriptures while in front of the Lord and just writes the lyrics as they come to her.
Now, this first one, well, I guess the whole series. She got this idea when John Paul II gave us the Luminous Mysteries, right? When he announced them officially?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she kind of got the idea for the whole album? Or was she kind of working on it?
She's been working on it ever since then, but she actually started out by composing the Luminous Mysteries because they were the new ones and they inspired her.
And she was a Notre Dame graduate, right? We said
yes.
That before, but she dual majored in, I think, music and theology?
Yes.
Very good. Okay, so this first song, I'm sorry, once again, is called what? And what? Where are we going with it?
The Kingdom of God is at Hand.
And it's about which mystery?
The third luminous mystery. Jesus proclaims the coming of the kingdom.
Very good. Danielle Rose, ladies and gentlemen.
The kingdom of God is at hand, the body of Christ.
All right, well, that was just The Kingdom of God is at Hand by Danielle Rose. And any thoughts?
I thought that song was absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
I did too. Mm-hmm. I loved everything about it. Like, I loved the beat and I liked the music and I loved her voice. She had a very, very beautiful voice. Mm-hmm. And the lyrics were great as well.
I just think it's cool because it says, she writes that it's from the perspective of Jesus the preacher. So I think that's really cool that, like, this is him telling us that this is his kingdom and we're supposed to go out and make it a great place, make the world.
Which lyrics really stand out to you guys?
Chorus. It's really catchy. You want to hum it?
Yeah, well, that's good. Absolutely. That's a big part of the show we're doing, is to try to give people examples of songs that they want to have around them, not just something that someone goes, oh, here, this is a good song, you should have this because it's good lyrics or whatever. You want something that's going to make you, you know, get into it. I'm just, the chorus to me was interesting. Did anybody notice like a double play? At least to me it seemed like there's a double play in the idea of like in your hand, like the rosary's mm-hmm. in your hand, obviously. And then obviously Eucharist, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if that was just me or not, you know. But
I definitely got that.
Which is kind of strange because this particular Luminous Mystery was about the proclamation of the kingdom, but it wasn't about the institution of the Eucharist, which comes a little bit later, but it was neat because they kind of cross over. Yeah. Good deal. Any other lyrics on there that really popped out?
The part where it says, the kingdom of God is at hand, the body of Christ, I believe, amen. Just that whole part is really powerful to me. It kind of reminds me of at Mass when, after the consecration, when we all say amen, you know, it's like one as a church, and that really stand out to me. I like that part.
Mm-hmm. I liked how the last part before the chorus went on again, where it says, open your hands and cling like a child, is basically saying, you know, cling, it's almost like clinging to, you know, like your father who's king in your eyes, cling to him when you're, you know, you need someone, when you're the, you know, he's going to protect you.
Absolutely. You know, Jesus talks
he's gonna
about...
He's going to give your body blood, you know, he's going to fight for you, make sure you're safe.
Jesus talks about having a childlike faith, you know, that if you don't have a faith like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. So absolutely, that's a big part of it. Did someone else have a hand? Yeah, Caitlin.
I just thought the part about nets made of kindness, many times mended by knots of forgiveness, hearts that repented, that really, like, struck confession for me, because mm-hmm. that's exactly, mm-hmm. like, it's like the institution of the sacraments. Each part of the song kind of has a little bit of the institution of the sacraments, and I just thought that was a wonderful way of putting it.
I got that too, but you know what the weird thing for me is, a little more personal maybe, on the lines of like, he'll make you fishers of men, the line above the chorus there, I will make you fishers of men, everything not of love you must leave, that idea of being selfless instead of selfish, you know, but then nets made of kindness, many times mended, I kept thinking, yes, obviously confession, but if I'm supposed to go out and catch people now as a youth minister, you know, or as a Catholic, just in general, you know, somebody that believes in God, we have to do it with kindness, and we have to do it with these, sometimes we put our foot out there and, you know, do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing or whatever and hurt somebody's feelings or something. We have to go back and mend those nets, basically, before we can catch people. You know, if there's big, huge holes in it, you're not going to be able to catch much or whatever.
Yeah, and like, you know, it's talking about the chorus where it talks about his hands and all that, and it says, this is my body, and then it goes back to the chorus about his the kingdom of God is at hand, and that goes God his blood. It's basically, in my opinion, it feels like, you know, when they're preparing the lot, everything and stuff, saying, and the preach father holds up the body of Christ and says, this is the body of Christ which will be given up for you. Mm-hmm. And same thing when he does with the wine, which he said, this will be like his blood which will be given up for you. It seems like they're going through each stage of, like, right before the communion.
Yeah, this is my body, this is my blood. Mm-hmm. Not just this mm-hmm. is light, but this is. It's transubstantiation, which is really Catholic and excellent. A good point there, Anna. Thank you. So any other thoughts on there? Being the third Luminous Mystery, it's kind of an unusual place to start. I guess you could have started with, like, you know, the glorious, or I'm sorry, the joyful mysteries or whatever, but we're just kind of popping in on the middle of her music here, in the middle of this particular CD or whatever, mysteries. So that's where we landed. Any other thoughts, though?
I liked the first line where it says, now is the time in the midst of your ordinary lives. Like, that line, I really like that because it's... Like, a lot of people wait and be like, I'll follow God when it feels right. I'll do it later when I'm prepared and everything. But it's like, nothing's going to change. This is what your life is like now, and you can change your life right now. You don't have to think about, I'll be different in the future. You can just do what, take what you have now and let God into it, and He'll give you a better future.
Absolutely. And that, I like when she says, like, cast all your worries like stones in the sea right after that. You know, come follow me. That you probably would have some reservations. You'd probably think, you know, oh, it's just an ordinary life or whatever, and, you know, this is just kind of cruising along. But if you just take all those concerns of, oh, I wouldn't be good enough, or I couldn't handle this, or I don't know what I would say or whatever, and just say, okay, God, I'm going to throw all these things away and just follow you, whatever you say, whatever words you put in my mouth, you know, whatever you tell me to do or say, I'll try and do or say.
Like you were saying about casting stones in the sea, I know when I was little, and you might remember this too, that aged me a little bit, but like, you know how like you'd skip stones in the pond, try and find the flattest stone, and try and skip them in the water?
Mm-hmm.
That when he said, and you're saying cast stones like that in the sea, it makes me think of that, you know, throwing stones away in the river and seeing how far you can go.
Okay, just any thoughts on the rosary in general? Did this, the idea of the project, if I understand correctly, when she did it, was to help people that do pray the rosary to have more things to sort of meditate on with the mysteries, and also people that maybe don't have devotion through the rosary to maybe gain devotion through the rosary. Maybe just go around and just, anybody here have devotion to the rosary in your life? Do your families pray it together or anything like that? Or?
I'll go ahead and start. I know for her, just us in general as our group, St. Michael's Teens, we have, our youth group kind of does a the Divine Mercy together every so often when we get a chance after we do Bible study, and I think we, everybody enjoys it, because I know I do, and it's, you know, it helps make sure, you know, bring everybody together at the end and have closure of everything, and we pray for everything that we need to have help with.
Mm-hmm. In our Dead Theologian Society, we always do one decade of the Rosary. Yeah, mm-hmm. Caitlin.
My thing, going back to the cast all your worries like stones in the sea, that really strikes a chord with me, because I started praying the rosary quite a few years back, but it was something that really was able to bring me closer to the Lord through His mother, bringing me closer to Him and just throwing away all my worries and relying on Him for my strength and my hope. That's just something that's very important to me, and I thought she did a great job.
It's interesting, the actual beads of the rosary kind of came from the monks that were doing the psalms, and they, I think, had 150, right? And so they had 150 beads or rocks or whatever, and they would just keep track of where they were. They would kind of move the rocks from one side to the other or whatever, and eventually those developed into the idea of doing the beads for the psalms. And then people that wanted to emulate the monks but didn't have time to go through all the psalms would just start praying the rosary down the road. But that's where the same 150 came from. And this idea of like throwing the rocks in the seas, that's kind of cool too. That maybe it's just like the same 150 rocks you're throwing. I don't know. Maybe I'm stretching here. Anything.
No, but like Caitlin was saying, you know, with the rosary, personally myself, I've been out of the church for a while, but I've just gotten back in the last couple months. And since then, I've been trying to pray the rosary as much as I can with the youth group in general, or just by myself.
Mm-hmm.
It does make you feel closer to the Holy Mother and our Lord and everybody, and you know, all the people that help teach the Word.
Let me ask you guys this. Do any of you find it a chore to pray the rosary?
No.
Like hard to pray the rosary? Am I the only one, really? Seriously? I find it hard. I do. It's,
yeah.
You know, it depends. If I'm in a certain mood, or if I'm worried about something or scared about something or concerned about my family or whatever, it's like I can rattle the rosary off like nobody's business. You know, it just sort of pops up and goes. You know, it's easy just to say the prayers and everything. But if I'm just sitting there and I can, like, you know, go make a sandwich or watch TV or something like this or pray the rosary, it's like really hard for me to do. I want to do it. It's like that war with the flesh and the spirit kind of thing, you know, but it's like causing yourself to do something that you might not normally do, but it's really, really good for you, and it's a really holy thing. And I find that there's like a period of time where it's hard to do, like you're ramping into it, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like you sort of take off, and then you're like almost flying with it, where it's real easy, and it like comes real easy, and all of the graces and all the spiritual aspects of it that make you, the consolations, I guess I would say, you know, seem to come after you've kind of put some work into doing it. Now, I don't know, maybe that's because I'm 44, you know, and being young, maybe that's not the effect for you guys, and that's good, so pray as often as you can. Yeah, Taylor?
Yeah, now after I think about it, it is kind of hard for me. Like, I know before Roller Chair Ball, when we do the 15 minutes of adoration, I always try to pray one decade of the rosary, And I always find myself just kind of rushing for it, but then I'm like, no, okay, you know, this is more important than going out to play Roll of Trouble. You know, I can see these people, like, almost every day of the week, you know. Even though it's funny, you know, this is more important than that. You know, I always have to, like, slow myself down and actually really meditate on it. And so it is kind of hard to do it, but you just have to slow yourself down and concentrate on what you're doing.
Yeah, I know when I started praying it, it would take me an hour to get through the whole thing just because I could not focus.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't sit there and do the whole thing. And it was really frustrating at first.
Yeah.
But it gets easier.
Maybe for our listeners out there, particularly, you know, teens and young adults, hearing that the experience can be a little bit tough at first. But it does have benefits, right? We all agree mm-hmm. with that, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
It does have benefits. So stick with it. Get on it. Stick with it as best you can, and you'll see these things will start to happen. Mary, did you have something to say?
Yeah, I was kind of going off of what Taylor and Michelle said. Sometimes, like, I would find myself rushing through them or whatever, then I'd lose track, and it would just be so frustrating. But, I remember going on some of the retreats or places with my friends, and be like, oh, let's play the rosary. And sometimes it's kind of like an inconvenience. You know what I mean? It's like,
it'd be more fun to talk.
Yeah, right? It would be more fun. Exactly. Yeah. But then once you're done, it just totally puts you at peace. And like the feeling afterwards never goes away. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's hard to at first and you just can't concentrate, once you're done, like the feeling is totally worth it. You just feel totally cleansed.
Yeah, like along with you were saying, like, you know, how it feels good afterwards. I liked it. We went on the March for Life and we went to the mass the night before. What was it?
At the Basilica.
Yeah, the Basilica. There we go. When, like, we just, like, everyone was, like, rushing in, you know, trying to find seats, and we all, you know, we had all our seats, and we all just kind of, like, huddled down, you know, on the floor. And I think someone, like, you know, led one of the decades of the rosary. I thought that was really cool because everyone around us was rushing, and we were all, like, kind of there. And, like, everyone was like, no, I want to talk, you know, I want to look around at, you know, all the stuff, you know, all the decorations and, you know, the mosaics around on the walls. And but I thought it was really cool. You know, everyone just kind of calmed down. We just sat there and prayed part of the rosary.
That was actually one of the most powerful rosary experiences for me, was at the March for Life, because we prayed the rosary so many times that weekend. We even fell asleep to the rosary that one night. They set it on the loudspeaker, which was actually really cool. But when we were waiting for Mass to start, because we had to get there super early, I probably said like 5 rosaries before Mass. And there's like there's nothing more powerful than the rosary, other than, you know, attending Mass and all that stuff. It's just such a good feeling, and it just totally just puts you at peace. And it's just something after praying the rosary, I'm just like, I can do anything. You know what I mean? It's like that feeling. Like, I don't know. I love it.
We just had the Vacation Bible School here at St. Michael's, and we were teaching the little kids about the rosary. And it was interesting to just break it down to the very essential things to say, like, these are the stories of the life of Jesus, particularly with Mary, you know. And it was really neat to just talk to a little kid that way, because they, you know, they're getting these for the first time, some of them, pre-K kids, some of them, just looking at these beads and thinking, what is this? Is an anachlus or whatever? And to be able to say, well, you know, you probably already know some of the mysteries of the rosary, even to a little kid. Like, you know, when Jesus was born, what do we call that? Christmas, you know, that's the nativity, it's the third joyful mystery. And so, oh, they knew Christmas all of a sudden. Okay, there was one of the mysteries there, and we could kind of attach that. And then we talk about Easter, when Jesus resurrected from the dead and came back to life and all this. And, oh, that's one of the mysteries of the rosary, and they knew that. And it was kind of neat just to get them started on praying the rosary a little bit and telling them that each time they said those prayers, that it opened up many graces for many people. And Mary was able to give graces to the world that God gave her to give to us, especially through those prayers from the rosary. So it's a beautiful devotion, and we really should do it more often. One quick thing, Mary, you mentioned right before the show that you were worried sometimes when you were younger or whatever that you might fall asleep during the little, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. But we had heard that Mary or the guardian angels would finish your prayers for you. So if any of you ever do go to bed and you're worried, well, I don't want to start the rosary because I might fall asleep, or maybe I can't stay awake and I'll feel bad that I didn't stay awake, well, your guardian angel will finish the rosary for you. So think of it that way. If you get like 2 or 3 Hail Marys out, boom, you know, you get an easy one, you know, like that.
And when just you start think about it, what better place to fall asleep than praying the rosary?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what we were talking about, what we talk about DTS, a lot of saints would offer up their sleep. It's kind of the same thing, you know, going to sleep to a rosary or something like that.
Yeah, it's like bookends, you know, you like have the rosary at the beginning when you wake up, and you have the rosary when you go to bed at the end of the night. So, surrounded by God's life and the story of Jesus and Mary and all the wonderful mysteries of the rosary and the graces that come from praying. Excellent. Well, Caitlin, tell us about our second song here. It's going to be another one of the mysteries from Danielle Rose's Mysteries album.
This one's called Holiness is Faithfulness. It's actually about the fourth sorrowful mystery, Jesus carrying his cross. I think we just need to take a listen to it and then kind of go through the lyrics afterwards just for this.
Sounds good. Okay. Holiness is Faithfulness by Danielle Rose.
Holiness is faithfulness. Holiness is joy. I am not bound to loneliness when I follow Christ my Lord. Holiness is faithfulness. Holiness is joy. I am not bound to loneliness when I follow Christ my Lord. I am looking for my Lord.
Take your cross and follow me.
I am looking for my way.
Follow my steps and you will see.
Must I sacrifice my glory?
Give it up and you'll be free.
Will I die in living shame?
Do not fear death, your eyes in me. Holiness is faithfulness. Holiness is joy. I am not bound to loneliness when I follow Christ my Lord.
I have lost my strength, I've fallen.
Rise up, son, to your feet.
My mother Mary whispers,
in my heart you'll be always with me.
I'm so afraid.
Here comes Simon of Cyrene.
Will you bear with me my burden?
Jesus, behind you I will carry. Holiness is faithfulness. Holiness is joy.
Is joy.
I am not bound to loneliness when I follow Christ my Lord.
She gazes in my eyes.
Veronica kneels at his feet.
I have fallen once again.
When she wipes the face that bleeds.
Daughters of Jerusalem,
do not weep for me.
Father, catch me in your arms.
For I am strong when I am weak. Holiness is faithfulness.
Holiness is joy.
Holiness is joy. I am not bound to loneliness when I follow Christ my Lord.
You know that I love you.
No greater love than this.
I lay down my life for my friends.
Jesus' body now is stripped.
They have pierced my hands and feet.
Crucified the heavenly King.
On a tree between two thieves.
Jesus redeemed the world from sin.
Oh,
holiness is faithfulness.
Is faithful.
Holiness is joy.
Holiness is joy.
I am not bound to loneliness when I follow Christ my Lord. Holiness is faithfulness. Holiness is joy.
Is joy.
I am not bound to loneliness when I follow Christ my Lord.
Holiness is Faithfulness by Danielle Rose. We'll be back in a few for comments on the song.
Hi, welcome back from the break. This is a St. Michael Teen Radio Show. Before the break, we listened to Holiness is Faithfulness by Danielle Rose. Do you guys have any thoughts on this song?
Well, I'll start, I guess. I love that song. I love the intro, how it just was her a cappella, and then throughout the whole song was a cappella, and the choir was really good. And everything about the song I loved, just the way it was set up. And the words were great, and she has a beautiful, beautiful voice.
Do you notice there's a call and response in it? I mean, yeah. Sort of like, you know, da 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 da, you know, like the call and the answer. It's like the way the song's divided according to their liner notes is Jesus is having a dialogue with the members of his body, the body of Christ. And it's interesting because the whole first part of it is like the body of Christ. I am looking for my Lord, you know, and this seeking kind of thing. And then Jesus answers, take your cross and follow me. I'm looking for my way, seeking him. Follow my steps and you will see, Jesus answers. You know, we look, you know, must I sacrifice my glory, like a giving kind of thing? Do I have to give something? Jesus says, give it up and you'll be free. So give and then you'll get. You know, and then fear, you know, will I die in living shame? And then Jesus answers, do not fear death, you'll rise in me, you know, love. So it's kind of like this call and response, not only in the music itself, which is really cool, but in the lyrics and what's going on there. Yeah, Anna.
I just love how it goes through the actual stations of the cross, because sometimes when you look at them, and you don't you know, like, mm-hmm. you can go into many different churches and places where, you know, they have stations of the cross. And, you know, you can tell what's going on by looking at it, but sometimes, you know, it's nice to have someone actually tell you the story of it.
Absolutely,
and
sure.
By listening to, you know, it's like you can listen to it, and like you were saying about the call and response, you can actually understand what he is going through in each stage of the stations of the cross.
Sure.
And you could actually kind of almost feel like you're there with him.
Kate?
I think it's awesome how in the middle of the song it switches over. You were saying that it starts off with the body and then Jesus in the beginning responding to them. And then it turns in the middle of the song, like, where it says, will you bear with me my burden? Jesus behind you I will carry. So Jesus is asking Simon of Cyrene if he'll bear his burden with him. And Simon responds, yes, I'll carry behind you. So I just think it's really neat how she can go from the body of Christ and then go straight to Jesus.
Sure.
Throughout the song.
That makes sense. Quick question of thought here. Holiness is faithfulness. Holiness is joy. The sisters that came and talked, which particular sisters were they? Do you guys remember?
Sister Josephine.
But I mean, what's the order?
Mary the Mother of the Eucharist.
That's who they are? The sisters mm-hmm. of Mary the Mother of the Eucharist, right? That totally reminds me of them. Holiness is faithfulness. Holiness is joy. They were so joyful and happy, you know? And it's like, they weren't bound to loneliness, like the next line here, I'm not bound to loneliness when I follow Christ my Lord. It's interesting how so many people think of vocation sometimes as like, well, what a lonely life that would be, you know, to be a sister or a priest or a brother or whatever and not be in a married situation, maybe. Those kinds of things or traditional idea of marriage, I guess I should say, because you would be in a marriage with Christ. But it's not at all loneliness, is it? It's like total joy and total faithfulness. It's like, you know, what we're all looking for in this thing. But Christ is carrying his cross in this particular mystery of the rosary, right? And how alone that must have seemed, but at the same time, everybody was around him. Mary was there. Simon, who eventually would have come to love him, you know, was introduced to him at that point. So maybe in the terrible loneliness of carrying your cross, you really come across some of the people that would be major players in your family, in the family of God, if that makes sense. Any other thoughts on some of the lyrics there, or the song itself?
I didn't particularly like the last one where it says Jesus remands all the world of sin. Where it's basically saying he's taking all the sins away from everybody.
You know, I like that line too. The Jesus redeemed the world from sin.
Yes, that's it.
There you go.
Yeah,
I think that was.
And
like
he's up on. It says about going up on the cross with between two criminals.
Yes, mm-hmm. The good thief and the bad thief.
Yeah, and it's right there in between the two of them, and he's taking the sin from the good one, for whatever sins he has put up on there, and the sins from the bad guy, bad one who was also put up on the cross, and taking them both up with him to heaven.
No. Yeah, the good thief is, his name's Dismas, and he's the one that, actually it's interesting because people say, well, you know, is it a church of faith or is it a church of works? A lot of people call the Catholic Church a church of works, and they say, you know, you think you have to work your way to heaven. We don't believe that. We believe that it's faith and works, and that your faith, if you have faith, you'll show it through your works, basically. But people say, they'll point to Dismas on the cross, and they'll say, well, what did he do? But his proclamation of who Jesus was a work in and of itself. You know, you are the Son of God or whatever. Remember me when you come into your kingdom.
So that's why he was crucified?
No, that's not why he was crucified, but that's why he was redeemed. Whereas the other one, and I don't even know what his name is, maybe it's lost for all time or whatever, but the bad thief or whatever was just constantly reviling Jesus along with the rest of the crowd there. So, but this the good thief realized, you know, at the point of his death situation, this is God, you know, and asked for forgiveness basically. And he knew he was wrong. You know, he makes the declaration, he confesses basically on the cross and says, you know, to the other thief, we deserve this for what we did, you know, but this man's innocent. So there's like a public confession there, and then Jesus, you know, says he'll be with him that day in paradise. So there's a promise made by Jesus there. Really cool. So again, you see reconciliation with all of its glory right there at the crucifixion itself. So any other thoughts on it? All right, well, how about a little bit more just on the rosary? Tell me more about what you guys think of the rosary, how it's benefited you in your lives. Would listening to Danielle Rose's mysteries like this, would that benefit you as far as helping you pray more, pray the rosary more often?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely know from personal experience, I mean, I enjoy the rosary very much, but when I'm able to meditate on the mysteries and have her songs as guidance and then have like the scriptures, it's just wonderful to put that all together kind of thing. And she makes it, like we were saying, how kind of it's sometimes difficult to pray the rosary. It makes it a lot easier because you have like this beautiful music to help you get through it, and just the wonderful meditations that she presents are amazing.
Now, you actually met her, right?
Yes.
And this was at a Notre Dame Vision conference or something?
Yes. I went to Notre Dame Vision last summer. I'm actually returning this summer. It's a week-long church camp. We go to Mass every day, have adoration. Inspirational speakers, nuns, brothers, friars, and things like that are there. And I actually met her because she was the music facilitator, I guess you would say. She stayed with us in the dorms for one or two nights, and we actually had the wonderful opportunity to pray for a woman who was having an abortion. We prayed Hail Marys all the way from the dorm over to the hall, just like halfway across campus, and we later found out that the woman did not have the abortion.
Excellent.
So that Praise was God. Wonderful, wonderful grace of the Lord to be able to experience with that with her and with the other teens who were there.
Now, on the weekend or week or whatever it was, did you actually go through the whole mysteries with Danielle Rose? Did she do all the songs for you too, or just?
We didn't go through the whole CD. She has another CD out previous to the mysteries CD. She sang a few of those songs. We actually prayed the rosary one night with her. We did, I think it probably was the Luminous Mysteries, but we prayed through the five-decade rosary, the traditional five-decade rosary with her, and offered up intentions and things like that. And we prayed this as a large group of like 200 teens, so that was another wonderful experience.
It's always great. You know, one of the things we get to do every year, we go up to Cary, Ohio, on the evening of the 14th of August, which is the vigil for the Assumption of Mary, the Feast of the Assumption. And the neat thing is you get to see all these young people up there. There's usually tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people there. And they have at dusk, there's a rosary procession, and everybody prays the rosary out to the basilica out there, and then they have the mass out there in the open, and it's beautiful. But it's so neat to see the faith of the people, particularly the young people that go. So if you're anywhere near Cary, Ohio on the 14th of August, every 14th of August, please do try to get out there, and you can meet some of us. We always try to meet at 4 o'clock on the steps of the shrine there, you know, if anyone's looking, and just go out there and pray the rosary with us and gain those graces. Any closing thoughts maybe on the rosary in general in your lives?
I think those songs have helped, you know, for people who are starting to learn, you know, start praying the rosary and stuff, to learn, you know, the glorious mysteries. So that they know, you know, because you can read a piece of paper telling you what they're about. And it's, you know, sometimes for some people it's hard to memorize things when you're just reading them. If you hear them with songs, some people memorize them that way and remember the tunes. So when they start praying it, that they get, know it that way, and they'll start humming the rhythm.
Sure. Tim?
Yeah, I think for someone who's just starting out to learn, you know, all the, like, you know, the rosary and everything like that and all the different mysteries, I think it's a good way, you know, helps explain, you know, what happened in this one and, you know, in that one, and I think it's a good, like, guide for someone who's starting out with learning how to pray the rosary. Mm-hmm.
She's certainly done a nice job of just fleshing them out a little bit. Caitlin?
My thing is when I come and reading, even outside the rosary, just reading scripture in general, there's so many things that you draw straight from scripture. So sometimes I'll be reading something and I'm like, oh, I know a song about that. So it's the same way, like as you're learning this new prayer, if it's new to you or if it's old, it's a nice
refresher kind of thing. Livens it up kind of.
Yeah, sometimes you read something and it reminds you of a song you've heard about something that you're reading. You know, like they wrote it because they read the same thing. You know, someone else has been here, you know? Mm-hmm. Someone else has already seen this or had these thoughts or whatever. It's kind of a cool experience there. So, Mysteries of the Rosary, we've got 20 of them now. We've just been blessed with them by John Paul II to have the Luminous Mysteries, which were added on. I guess they were always kind of there, but he made them official. And now we're able to really get into the life of Christ and Mary and meditate deeply and ask for all of those graces that we get from meditating on all of those mysteries. So, and we thank Danielle Rose for her wonderful music, which helps to facilitate people praying the Rosary. People that are not used to the mysteries might pick up her album, Mysteries, and that would have two CDs in it, all 20 Mysteries of the Rosary, which is cool. And that might help you just have a devotion toward doing more and more of the Rosary. We can certainly attest to that being a really good thing for anyone out there, for the graces that it gives us. And I think anybody here would say so. So we will join you again next week, right? Everybody back here, same place?
Mm-hmm. Same time.
Same time. And what is our tagline on the way out? Anybody remember?
Take our advice or burn in hell.
Amen. I'll see you next week then. St. Michael's Teen Radio Show. God bless.
Yes, thank you very much. This podcast and all the materials contained herein are the intellectual property of Mr. Michael A. Barone. They are copyrighted by him under the stmichaelspod.com website. Any use of these materials contained herein without Mr. Barone's express written permission is a violation of all applicable copyright law.